you obviously are very accomplished in the studio, but you've also, as you said, you know, played live. Most recently, you've been touring with Michael Martin Murphy. Is that?
Yes, not touring so much as just doing special events with him. Mm-hmm. Michael and I go way back. First of all, I'm a big fan, but I try to refrain from telling him I used to dig him when I was in high school, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's Michael Martin Murphy. And I've done his records for 15 years here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So we know each other from that. But, you know, in getting to know Murphy, I kind of put a bug in his ear once in a while. You know the story, Bronson. You know that he's the king of the cowboy singers. You know, as far as being number one Western singer in the world, it's Michael Martin Murphy.
Right.
But you and I both know he's had several careers.
Yeah.
He came out of Texas as one of the top singer-songwriters in the same class with same graduating class as Steve Fromholtz, Guy Clark, Willie Nelson, Jerry Jeff Walker. You know, that whole generation of great songwriters out of Texas. Michael was one of those guys. And, you know, he was a guy that came out of Texas. He went to Hollywood. He wrote hits for Donnie Kirshner's company.
Yeah.
He became a Hollywood writer, writing hits for the Monkees and all sorts of other people. And then, of course, you know, he wrote Wildfire and became a huge thing. Then he moved to Nashville, had another career as a country singer, you know, during the 80s. He had many hits, What's Forever For, Still Taking Chances, all that. And then he went to the Western thing and became the king of that mountain. So in doing records with Michael, I was always kind of putting a bug in his ear saying, hey, Murphy, you know, why don't you, instead of doing pieces of what you do, why don't you do a record, you know, kind of with everything in it, you know? Let's do a modern Americana, progressive, bluegrass, country, whatever. Let's just do. And he kept putting me off saying, oh, I don't know, I don't want to. But anyway, we did it, and it got a Grammy nomination.
Yes.
For Best Bluegrass Recording of 2009. Of course, we knew we were going to lose to Steve Martin, but it was an honor. So, you know, now we're doing the sequel. And so he's got a whole new thing going now. And so he said to me, listen, you got me into this.
Yeah.
So you need to come out and do some shows with me. So when we're doing some special shows like the Opry, or, you know, I'm going to go out and do a train thing with him in the mountains this summer. I'm going to do a Christmas thing with him later on. So I have been going out in some special events and I've been loving it.
Do you have a preference for playing live or in the studio?
No, but my preference is that a player needs to do both. Mm-hmm. I have listed to one side or the other over time. With Newgrass, I was on the road 200 days a year for 10 years. And then, of course, the following 10, 15 years, I've been in the studio doing records. The truth is, you're a better player if you can sit in the studio chair and be creative in that very difficult atmosphere, but also be entertaining enough to go on stage and relate to a crowd. I think it's really important that you do both. So...
your guitar, what's the number one guitar that you pick up when you're going to play?
Well, that was an easy answer about 5 years ago. My best guitar, if I had to grab one in a house fire,
right,
would be my 1949 D28. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's the Martin D1949 D28. And that's the guitar that I played with Newgrass, and it's probably my signature sound. Mm-hmm. But... a few years ago, I met the Collings people out of Austin, Texas,
right,
at the NAMM show, and got talking with Steve McCrary, and, you know, I was telling him, you know, he was showing me all of his guitars, and I was just telling him, I'm not a new guitar guy. I've had so many guitars sent to me, Bronson, over time, but rather than, like most of the guys, you take everything you get for free. I don't keep it unless I can use it, so I've sent lots of guitars back. And I told Steve, he said, we can build you one you're going to like. And I said, okay, but I mean, I can't guarantee I'll play it. I was kind of putting him off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Collings arrived about a year later at my house. I started playing it in the kitchen. I figured, well, I'll play it in the house for a year and then we'll see. I had it in the studio the next day.
Wow.
And I have rarely had it out of my hands since then. Now, it doesn't supersede the Martin Bronson, but hey, I don't have to take the Martin out of the house now.
Right.
It used to be a terrible dilemma. If I take the Martin out of the house, Bronson, to go somewhere to do something, it might get lost or stolen or whatever, right? Or mm-hmm. broken, and I'm out. You can't replace it.
Right.
So I hate to take it out, but what if I'm on stage without it? I'm unhappy.
Right.
Dilemma.
Yeah.
I can go out with my Collings now and be as 100% happy. I can't tell you how thrilled I am and surprised. I had to eat my words. I had to eat a lot of crow. That Collings guitar is everything beyond what I thought it would be. I love it.
What kind of strings do you like?
I have been a happy endorser of John Pierce strings for 25 years. Mm-hmm. 25 years, John Pierce phosphor bronze light gauge. But now I tweak it a little bit. I use a light gauge Bronson, but on the top of the guitar, on the skinny strings, the E and the B, I use, instead of a 12 and a 15, I use a 13 and a 17.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I do to tweak it, because I get thicker notes up there. I need thicker notes up there. So I just up the thickness a little bit. So that's my gauges, and then the rest standard line. But John Pierce strings always last me a long time. They're a quality product, and I'm real happy. I appreciate them.